The Holy Gospel for this morning is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mary and Joseph, you might imagine, were a very traditional Jewish family. They followed to a T all of the prescriptions in the law of Moses, and that's what this story is meant to tell us, part of what this story is meant to tell us, that Mary and Joseph did exactly according to the traditions and laws of their people, the Jewish people. And so at the proper time, they brought their newborn son, their firstborn, to the temple to be purified and for an offering, a sacrifice to be made according to the law as it's stated. And so it was. That's exactly what they did. Now, it's important to point out that not all families from Galilee were able to make the trip from Galilee down to Judea up 2,000 feet to Jerusalem to do this. It was a considerable sacrifice, especially a family whose living, Joseph was said to be a carpenter, right? Carpenters lived hand to mouth, basically. They didn't earn any extra money, I can tell you that, and so it was a sacrifice. It was difficult to do this, but they were traditional parents. This is what the law stated. That's what they did. Not all families would have been able to do that. And not all would have been able to come up with the money to make this sacrifice either, by the way. It cost to do that. You had to pay the temple priest to do the sacrifice. So we know that Jesus was raised in a very pious, observant Jewish family. And we know that also, by the way, from his brother, who was the first bishop of the mother church in Jerusalem. James was his name. He was unfortunately martyred in the year 60 by an evil king who reigned for a brief period of time. And he was so well respected by those Jews, who, even those who were, had nothing to do with believing in Jesus, because he was such an observant Jew and such a strict observer of the laws and traditions, that when the king martyred James, a riot broke out in Jerusalem because he was so well respected. So it's clear from the little we know, we don't know anything about Joseph, quite frankly. By the time Jesus is baptized, Joseph is out of the picture. And when his family shows up early in his ministry, Joseph is not there. So he obviously had died prior to this time. But it's very clear from this background that Luke gives that Jesus was reared in a very traditional Jewish family. And so he would have known, obviously, what was necessary to know about the laws and the traditions. But that's not really what this text is about. I mean, it's connecting Jesus to that. But it's really about these two characters who are sitting in the temple waiting for the Messiah. So you've got two people there. Now, it's not an accident that they're in the temple, right? Every religious tradition has what is called worship space, where people go to have an encounter with God. That's where people go. Christians come to churches. Jewish people go to synagogues. Buddhists go to temples. I mean, every religious tradition has worship space, right? For the Jews at that time, it was the temple in Jerusalem. Mount Zion, it was the little mound upon which the temple was built. It wasn't really a mountain, but they called it Mount Zion. There, it was believed, is where God dwelt, in the holiest place in all of Israel, right there in the inner sanctum sanctorum of the temple, where the Ark of the Covenant sat, where an example of the manna that was fed to the Israelites when they were going through the desert was all the religious symbols, just like we have religious symbols, right? We've got the cross, we've got altars, we've got candles. It was filled with religious symbols, meant to remind them of their history and their relationship with God. So it wasn't an accident these two people are waiting in the temple, right, for the disclosure of who the Messiah is going to be, because that's where they had encounters with God. But, and it is said that both of them were very devout, fasting and prayer and all of the practices and all of this. But in the end, it's very interesting to note that when the Messiah is actually revealed to them, it's not because they were devout. It's not because they had fasted. It's not because they had prayed. It's not because they were traditionally observant people. Who reveals the Messiah to Simeon and Anna? Well, God does. The Holy Spirit does. They don't receive knowledge as to who the Messiah is in virtue of the fact that they're wonderfully observant people. They receive it because God gives it to them as a gift in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is meant, I think, to point to the fact that salvation, which Simeon understands at this point to be in this child. And by the way, salvation, at that time, the Jewish people thought of salvation, not as we think of it, not as liberation from sin and death, and the freedom to live in the love of God with the promise of eternal life, that isn't what it meant. It meant being liberated from your enemies. And it meant looking back. You see, what the people of Israel were doing is what people do when they've lost something that they cherish about themselves or their history or their identity. People were looking back to the time in their history when Israel was independent, strong, and not under the occupation of any foreign power. They were looking back to the time of King David, and they were expecting King David's heir to come and free them similarly and create a kingdom that was similar to what they had in the past. In other words, they were backward looking. They were not looking forward, they were looking backward. They were like a person who's lost something cherished in their life, and it's very painful to have lost that, and they want to get it back because they think that's who they are. If I can have this back, then I'll be the person I was meant to be. I read a story once about a guy who was a swimmer, an Olympic swimmer, I think, if I remember correctly. And he dove off a diving board once. Unfortunately, there was an accident. He hit the bottom, and he broke his spine. And he could not walk ever again after that particular dive. That was the end of it. So, as you might imagine, for a while after the accident occurred, you might imagine, I think I would do the same thing, he prayed that somehow maybe a miracle would happen, he'd get his ability to walk back again. He would be restored to the person he used to be. But after a time, it was clear that that was not going to happen. What he was, he would no longer be. So, on the basis of his faith, on the basis of having taken hold and believing and his faith that he nevertheless was in God's hands and that God had a purpose for his life, that even though he couldn't retrieve his old life, certainly something new awaited him, a new life, a new future, a new calling. Something to embrace. So rather than grieving what he lost, rather than looking backward, he looked forward. And he embraced a new future, and new possibilities, and a new way of serving God. And that is exactly what he did. And he turned into a person who served people who had similar injuries and who were going through the kinds of things that he went through. And he found joy, meaning, and life in his new life. The people of Israel, this was very difficult. They were needing to quit looking backward, quit looking at what they used to be, quit looking at, you know, a glorified past. And they were directed to look forward instead. Your Messiah is bringing salvation in a new way, in a deeper way, in a much more profound way than what you think. And it's going to be difficult for you. Note what Simeon says to Mary. This child is born for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your own heart as well, Mary. Meaning that she will see him die on the cross. That's what he's talking about. And Mary will undoubtedly suffer a great deal for that. But Mary will become an integral part of a new Christian community. that was headed up by the Apostle John in the town of Ephesus. She has a new future. She has a new and completely different calling than what she would have expected as the mother of the Messiah. And embracing that is something that is part of what it means to come to faith in Jesus Christ. It means in trusting your life to someone over whom you have no control. Notice that Simeon and Anna have no control over the fact that they recognize that this child is the Messiah. Nobody else recognizes it. I mean, the priest who circumcised the little boy didn't know this was the Son of God. Nobody else in the temple knew it. Mary and Joseph hadn't even figured out what it meant yet. Despite the fact that an angel told her, she still didn't know. How is it that these two knew? Because the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. Faith in Jesus Christ is a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit of God. People oftentimes, I think, under the impression of well-meaning preachers and evangelists, get the idea that we are saved when we make a choice to believe. That is not the way it works. We can't just make, we don't control Jesus Christ. We can't just grab hold of him and say, I'm going to believe in you now, as if we grab our car keys and get in the car. We can make a choice to believe only because faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I remember your catechism. I cannot come to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior by my own power and strength, but the Holy Spirit calls me through the gospel. Both Simeon and Anna come to faith because it was given to them as a gift by the Spirit. But that doesn't mean that they're not making choices or decisions. Both of them were doing exactly what Jesus said people do who seek the truth. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. When we come to points in our life when it's hard to believe, it's not because there's something wrong with us. It's because we need God's help. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When we feel the need to find in a greater, more in-depth way the mercy and love of God to strengthen us for whatever it is we're dealing with. Ask for it. Pray for it. Do what Simeon and Anna did. Wait for it. Patiently. It will be given to you. It is a gift. And the Holy Spirit will inspire us in our hearts and give us Christ as a gift. And when we lay hold of Christ as a gift through the power of the Spirit, then we will be similarly lifted up. Now consider Anna and Simeon. They didn't have any life left ahead of them. And by the way, Simeon's coming to wait at the temple for the unveiling of the Messiah wasn't part of a bucket list. This was something that he had been guided and directed to do by God. But look at their reaction when they lay hold of the promise that salvation has arrived in this child, which was disclosed to them as a gift by the Spirit, because they asked for it. Now, Lord, you can let your servant depart in peace. I don't see any fear of death here. Do you? For mine eyes have seen your salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel. And similarly for Anna. So, So, in the end, this text tells us, fear not, for your Savior has come. Your future has been secured by Him. Trust. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you have lost, try not to look backwards. Look forwards. That's where God is directing us. Look forwards. Because in His presence, you will find peace, love, and joy regardless of what it is you are dealing with. And similarly, as it was with Job, when he was going through so much pain in his life, at one moment, it just hit him. It was a gift from God to Job at that moment. And he exclaimed, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, when my skin has been thus destroyed, then from my flesh I shall see God. Amen. Okay, it's time to pick another carol. Does anybody have any request? Any requests? 281. Which one? 281. Verse 1 and 2. Carolyn? 271.
So glad each Christmas Eve. Please join with me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.